prayer, Matt, for the reading of the Scriptures, and we certainly are so grateful indeed for everyone that's here, and certainly in the very beginning, I want to thank our elders for allowing Ann and me to be gone last Sunday. Went down to University of Alabama, and some of you have seen our granddaughter in her recital. We were excited about that and enjoyed it very, very much. Glad to be with you today. Thank you for all of your blessings, and we just pray that as we continue to work together in the kingdom of God, that good will be accomplished to the glory of the Lord. I don't know about you, but people will talk about various preachers. I know I went down to Weatherly Heights in Huntsville, Alabama. That's way back, long time ago. Anyway, went down there to try out about preaching at the Weatherly Heights congregation. Well, Rodney Summers, one of the members there, was not there that day. He had a daughter whose name is Darla. And when he got back from his trip, he said, "Darla, how did Guy McDaniel do?" "Well," she said, "he hollered a lot." "Well, well, well. Hollered a lot," she said. Anyway, later I told Darla, I said, "Darla, I'm going to be quiet one time just for you, okay?" And then I tell you, I just have to beat myself. But anyway, I got the job. They asked me to come and stayed there for almost 18 and a half years. And she heard a lot of my hollering. Just like, bless your heart, you've heard a lot of mine too. I'm glad to be with you. We love you. Appreciate very much our work in the service of the Master. I want this morning to do something. I want to talk to you about your reward. You know, the Bible tells us when we're faithful to the Lord, when we stand before God in that day of judgment, there will be a reward that Jesus Christ will give out to those who have served Him faithfully. Now, in Psalms 127, verses 1 through 5, there are three things I want to observe with you from that. But one thing that you want to remember is the fact that unless God is our helper, everything we do is useless, it is vain. And there's a passage over in Revelation 22 and verse 12. And I want to connect that with our theme in the book of Psalms 127. Listen to these words of God. "And behold," Christ said, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." I believe that. I know that's true. Why, I tell you what, when we used to go up to my mother's when she was living, and on Thanksgiving we'd all get together, I knew one thing was going to be our reward for going up there. We would have a whole big feast day together on Thanksgiving Day. All of my aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, everybody knew that on Thanksgiving Day, Mama wanted us all there. We'd have 35 or 40 in her basement, and I knew one reward for making that trip. Boy, we would have plenty of good food to eat. We look forward to reward. How many of you work hard during the week, and then suddenly you go and you get your money, you get your payday for the work that you have expended? Don't you look forward to that? Why, when Freddie comes over on the Sunday that he gives us our money, I'm always glad to see Freddie. Boy, he's got something in his hand. You're working for what? Well, you're working for the Lord, but the Lord rewards His people for what they do. Now, just keep that in mind this morning, everybody. Behold, Jesus said, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." But if we hadn't worked, there's no reward. If we haven't served Him, there's no reward. In Psalms 127, notice what the Bible says. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak. Notice, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, three things mentioned in this psalm. Number one, talks about construction. Talks about a building. What does he say? He said, unless the Lord build the house, their work has no reward. It's all in vain. Unless the Lord build the house or labor, the labor is all in vain. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in beginning in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. For he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock, had a firm foundation. The winds come and the storms, and they beat against that house, but it doesn't fall. Nothing can destroy it. Why? It's got the foundation. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he's like a foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. The rains come and the winds blow and beat against that house and it falls. Why does it fall? It's not built by the Lord. It's not upon the sound foundation. And our lives are like that. If we don't build upon the truth of Almighty God. Secondly, look what the psalmist says about security. We're all real concerned about that in these days. We want to do everything to make it so secure for us here. But look what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, unless the Lord guards it, no wonder in Matthew chapter 6, 26 and verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What happens whenever we give into the flesh? We know what happens. We sin. And no wonder the Bible tells us to watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Protecting the city, securing the city by the Lord. Number three, raising a family. Isn't that wonderful? We couldn't have any kids of our own, so we adopted two. Boy, we're just thrilled to death that God gave us by adoption a little boy, 10 months old. We had so much fun with Timmy. Well, he was the sweetest little thing. My sister-in-law was telling me the other day, she said, you know, he had the prettiest blue eyes, big eyelashes. He was such a little, said, we just loved him so dearly. That was our little boy by adoption. When we stood before that judge, and the judge looked at those papers, and then he sealed those papers in an envelope, and he turned to us and he said to us, he's yours now. Boy, what a joy that was. Thrilling to death. Now we can raise the family. And then when we went and got Tabitha, some 8 years later, I never will forget coming back, and I've told you before, coming back, she was crying, and Tim said to us, he's now about 9 years of age, he said, if you don't keep that baby quiet, Daddy, said she's going to give me a sick headache. And she gave him a lot of sick headaches, I guarantee. Raising the family is marvelous, isn't it? Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I put this in. When we talk about this part of it, raising a family, don't we need help? I did. I still do. We need the advice of God. We need His instructions. We need His direction. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hold on. Don't ever give up. Raising a family is marvelous when you raise that family with the help of the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or anger, lest they be discouraged. Colossians 3, verse 21. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As I was studying for this lesson, I came across a statement made by someone. I thought it was really wise. He said, yes, correct your children. Discipline your children. But save time also to commend your children. When your children do something that's wrong, correct them, yes. But don't forget, when they're doing something good, to lift them up, to encourage them. Why? It's tough in this old world, even for our children. And so when we look at these passages, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Now, in the establishment of all three of these things, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Without the help of the Lord, the house falls down. The city is invaded without the help of the Lord, and the family results in ruin. Why? Without the help of the Lord. Our sight then is directed to God, unless the Lord build the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, unless the Lord is involved in training our children, all is vanity, all is vain. But who wants to expend energy on something to no avail? Who wants to work for nothing? I don't think anybody does. But you don't when you serve the Lord. Look at the rewards that you're going to get, that I'm going to get, we're going to get from the one who delivers them from the Lord. Abraham. Boy, I was reading about Abraham, and I tell you what. In Genesis chapter 22, when God told him to take his son Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice unto the Lord, you remember he didn't hesitate. He got the wood, he got the knife. He took his boy. As a matter of fact, he prepared everything. He's ready to slay his son. But the Bible says, when he took that knife out to slay Isaac, here's what God said about him. Abraham, Abraham, don't hurt the lad. Don't slay the child. And look at the reading of the Scripture. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Friend, there's rewards. Everything you do for the Lord will not be forgotten. He's going to give them out when we stand before him. In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Look at another example. There's Paul. Paul suffered so much. Why? He was willing to do all he could in the service of the Lord. He had one thing in mind. His goal was to hear the Lord say to him, well done. Listen to what he says shortly before he dies. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, don't you want that? I do. More than anything in this world. Oh, look what he's saying. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will do what? He will give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Can't you just see? Can't you feel how wonderful it's going to be for Paul? Because the rewards of serving the Lord is a crown of righteousness. But he said, it's not only to me, but also unto all them that love His appearing. Yes, there's laid up, Paul said, a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also unto them that love His appearing. As you know, I was really upset when my sister left me so quickly that Sunday. It took me back. Laying there, talking to me. I walk out in the waiting room, and in 10 minutes, she's gone. Tough. And now, I understand something. I understand that my sister was well prepared to go and meet the Lord. She had one goal, and that's mine. That is to meet Him and to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Think of what God says in Revelation 22 and verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." But if you don't have any work, you haven't served the Lord, and if we haven't done His will, what then? We know the reward is going to be given to those who serve Him. What about you? What about me? Psalms 89 verse 14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." God says, "My truth is right." When you obey my truth, here's what you shall receive in Isaiah 55, 89. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Matthew 25, verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but He's long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." If you've never obeyed the gospel, what's going to happen to you? Those who have obeyed the gospel and fallen away, what's going to happen? Those who are faithful to the Lord, serving the Lord, what's going to happen when He comes? The reward for everything you have done in His service unto God. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful even to the dying unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Wow, the rewards for serving God. Given out when? When you stand before Jesus. Who's going to do it? Jesus. Given to what? Every man, according as his work shall be. Revelation 22, verse 12. There's a word now in Psalms 127 that we don't want to overlook. That word is vain. It means that there is just nothing to it. It's vain unless you build a house with the help of God. It's vain for a city to be safe unless it's what? It's kept by the Lord. And a family falls apart, and we see it everywhere whenever we do what? Without the help and the direction of our God. Let us never forget what God says about things that are vain. Number one, the name of the Lord is so good, so wonderful. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. In Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Ooh, how scary that ought to be when people take God's name, his Son's name, the Holy Spirit, all in vain. In Psalms 111, verse 9, he sent redemption to his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. To worship God is a joy. To know I got brothers and sisters in Christ sitting here who love me and will help me and encourage me in life. That's a joy. But we must do what? Our worship must be not in vain. In Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Thirdly, you know, it's a great thing to know things. And yet the Bible tells us, don't listen to vain philosophy. The word philosophy is a love of knowledge. A love of what kind of knowledge, though? The things of this old world. People just spend their time in learning new things about this world instead of learning the things that are of God. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, you find something that's so precious to us all. The grace of God. How I need it, you do. We all need it. But look what Paul says. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. What? In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. But it's all in vain for those who will not turn and obey Christ. We need to remember that beautiful passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, and he said, I treat thee also, true, yo fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in, where? Their names are in the book of life. Why? Because they're God's people. What have they done? They've heard the word. They believed it. They repented, they confessed, and they were baptized. Where are they? Their names are in the book of life. And when the Lord comes, what a glorious thing it's going to be to know that He's going to reward us according to that which we have done. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Remember Revelation 22 and verse 12. That Christ is the one that will pass out the rewards. And the reward for those who are in Christ is going to be so great. Won't it be wonderful there? Being able to be with those who are God's people forevermore. I read a statement last week by someone, and as they were writing, they said, you know what? We don't talk about going home to be with God in heaven. Not enough. What a joy. Did you know there's no crying? No pain? No suffering? Huh? Where? Over there. How many have lost loved ones and we've missed them so much? They've been faithful to the Lord. Look at the reward that they're going to have. And our reward will be given by the one who's made that promise, Jesus Christ, to those who obey Him. If you've never been baptized, not in Christ, why not now arise and be baptized? And if you're a child of God, but you know today, if you have to stand before the great judge, and you have to hear Him say, here's what you did in life for me. What will He say? Have you been faithful to Him? Have I been faithful to Him? We want to be ready to meet Him. If you're an erring child of God, ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. And if you're a faithful child of God, you can pillow your head tonight. You can go to sleep. You can rest. Why? Because you know that all things are well with your soul. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, won't you obey Him today? Turn with Him. Turn to Him today and obey Him. Do that now, won't you? While together we stand.